Hello, thank you for joining us today. I am Margot Borgel, Director for IVD Global Regulatory Affairs, and I'm joined today by Senior Principal Consultant and IVD expert Bethany Chung. There was a significant update from FDA today with the release of the final rule on laboratory developed tests. The rule's expected to be published in the Federal Register on May 6th, which is in a week, and that will officially start the timeline clock. So we wanted to get together today to just discuss what has happened, how is the rule different from what was proposed, and what should we be doing? So, thanks, Bethany, for joining me today. Could you tell me a little bit about what the final rule includes, and what the timeline looks like?
Yeah, so the final rule has a lot of similarities to what we've already read in the proposed rule. There are also some differences, but the timeline itself hasn't really changed much from the proposed rule. So this is a 4-year phase out or phase in, if you will. The first year, we're looking at medical device reporting requirements and your quality system requirements for complaint files. So these are if you're receiving any post-market feedback that you need to be reporting to FDA. After 2 years, that's when we start compliance with requirements that aren't covered during the other stages. So it's a little bit vague, but it includes things like registration and listing requirements, labeling requirements, and any investigational use requirements also. At the 3-year time point, that's when it kicks into higher gear. So that's when you need to start meeting quality system compliance requirements. At 3.5 years, that's when we really start digging into those pre-market review requirements. So at 3.5 years, we have requirements for high-risk IVDs. So those are IVDs that would be class 3. So those would require PMAs and any IVDs that would require biologic license application. So for any IVD where submission is received prior to the deadline, enforcement discretion will continue during FDA review period. At 4 years, that's when we see the pre-market review compliance requirements for moderate and low-risk IVDs. Those would be your 510Ks, your de novos. So, like I said, this is all pretty familiar to all of us. This was in the proposed rule. But Margot, can you tell us a little bit about what's changed in the final rule?
Yeah, so the final rule is quite long, so we can't go through it really line by line, but I do want to highlight some important things that were added to the rule since we saw the last draft. And that is that the FDA has expanded the LDTs that can benefit from some amount of an enforcement discretion. So the previous version included enforcement discretion for 1976 type devices, that is low complexity manual tests, and also for certain types of HLA tests. And the final rule has expanded this. So it has added full enforcement discretion for LDTs manufactured and performed within the Veterans Health Administration or by the Department of Defense. But really, what is more interesting is that they've added a section for LDTs that benefit from a partial enforcement discretion. And this, I think, has the biggest impact on laboratories and those who are making these tests. And it's a positive change, right? We have a little bit more flexibility now for people in laboratories who have devices on the market. So what is included in this? There is an enforcement discretion for pre-market review requirements for LDTs that are approved by the New York State Clinical Laboratory Evaluation Program. So if your LDT is being used for patients in New York and you have this, have been through the New York Clinical Lab Evaluation Program, you can still benefit from not having to submit for pre-market review. So FDA is going to trust that New York state review, and you will not have to submit your device for pre-market review. There is also an enforcement discretion for both pre-market review and for the quality system requirements for LDTs that are manufactured and performed by a laboratory integrated within a health system to meet an unmet need of patients receiving care within that same health system. So this is if you are a hospital laboratory, you know, that is within a single hospital system and you are developing laboratory developed tests, you know, say, for example, you are taking a test that is already on the market and you're making it suitable for a pediatric population, that might meet the requirements for this. The rule goes into a lot of detail here about what could be and could not be included in this. So it's definitely worth reading and understanding kind of those nuances. And then probably the most exciting thing is that there will be some grandfathering for current LDTs. So enforcement discretion for pre-market review requirements and quality system requirements for currently marketed IVDs that are offered as LDTs that were first marketed prior to the date of issuance of that rule. So that's May 6th when it's published in the Federal Register, and that are not modified or are modified in very limited ways. So if you currently have a device on the market as an LDT, this is good news for you. You don't necessarily have to transition that specific LDT, and it can stay on the market as long as you don't change it. That being said, there are still some things you will have to do if you fall into one of those three groups. All of them require that you still do registration and listing, medical device reporting. You still have to meet labeling requirements, and you still have to meet the investigational use requirements. So there's still things that need to be done, but I think the burden is a little bit less for those devices currently on the market. There was another enforcement discretion for very specific non-molecular antisera for rare red blood cell antigens. So if you are a blood bank who is making its own antisera for very rare antigens, you have a caveat in there too for some enforcement discretion, and you could take a look at that. So Bethany, I know you were at a meeting last week where this was in high discussion. So could you tell us a little bit about what this means for laboratories that are currently using LDTs and what they should be doing right now?
Yeah, so the Association of Medical Diagnostics Manufacturers had their annual meeting last week. There were a lot of representatives from FDA in attendance. There was also an FDA workshop as part of it. Unfortunately, the FDA personnel were either reluctant or prohibited from talking about the final rule because it wasn't actually published yet. Yeah. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But even so, the manufacturers there, consultants there, attorneys there, there were hospitals and labs there. And there was really a lively discussion and a lively debate about this topic, which was very interesting. It's interesting to see the grandfathering enforcement discretion being added now, because there was also a lot of discussion that sort of parallels what we're seeing in the EU, where, you know, there's a little bit of a regulatory bottleneck when it comes to IVDs. There is a fear that IVDs are going to be pulled from the market and there's going to be a shortage. So there was a lot of discussion about that happening in the US as well. Hopefully with this grandfathering clause, we can avoid a large portion of that in the US. There was also discussion, and I think there was some pretty confident speculation as of last week, that this final rule would get tied up in a lot of litigation for the next few years and not actually be allowed to be enforced until it gets through the courts. I am wondering if with these additional enforcement discretion clauses that we're not as confident that it'll have to go through as much litigation, but I guess we'll wait and see on that one. But regardless of any of that, it's not time to sit around anymore. Now that this is the final rule, I think any labs that are operating in the US that are currently using LDTs should at the very least make a plan right now. So that plan should detail how you're going to comply with the final rule, and it should determine how long it will take, how long it will take for you to implement your plan. So when we're talking about a plan, I think the first thing we need to do is decide what type of entity you are and what type of test to use. So this will determine whether or not you fall under one of the enforcement discretion categories. Once you have that established, figure out what actions are required on your part. So will you need to meet quality system requirements? Will any tests that you have currently in development and not yet on the market need pre-market approval when you get to that point? Do you already have a system set up to document and track any of those reportable events that we talked about? Next, you need to assess your resources. So do you have the personnel to maintain compliance of regulatory documents? Or do you need to go outside and lean on expertise of consultants? Also, do you have a budget for either of these? Can you hire personnel within? Do you have the budget to outsource and to hire expertise and get some of that consulting in? That really needs to be determined at this point and to be budgeted for future years also. And then ultimately, you need to determine an appropriate time frame. So remember that regulatory compliance takes a lot of time, more time than you would think. So year 2.5 is not the time to start putting together your quality system from scratch, if that needs to happen. So if this rule does go into litigation and it does take a few years to make it through the courts, if you have your plan, you at least have some breathing room before you need to start taking action. But really now is the time to draft that plan. That'll give you the confidence that you need and the peace of mind that you need, knowing that you'll understand what needs to be accomplished. You'll know how long it takes. And you can kind of sit tight until action absolutely needs to be taken.
Great. Thanks so much, Bethany. If you have any specific questions on LDTs, feel free to reach out to us. We're going to be doing a lot more content on this topic beyond what we've done today. If there's things you want to see covered, please let me know. You can reach out on LinkedIn or you can reach out via email. And if you're thinking about your plan and you know you need help, definitely reach out to RQM Plus for support and we'll walk you through what needs to happen. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.